Amen. We've been studying this idea of the various devices which Satan makes use of to trip up believers and to keep unbelievers dead in their trespasses and sins. And this morning I'd like to consider with you yet one more way in which Satan demonstrates his malice towards Christ, and that is through his use of false teachers. So I would ask you, if you would please, to turn in your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 7. In Matthew chapter 7, let's skip down, I guess for time's sake, to verse 12, and let's pick up Jesus' sermon in verse 12. Chapter 7, verse 12, Jesus is ministering to those gathered around him, and he says, "Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets." This is what we have as the golden rule, right? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. The great golden rule. "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. There are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.' Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Now here we see our Lord himself telling us there will be false teachers. And the simple fact of the matter is this, that there will always be more false prophets than true. That is, there will always be more false teachers than true teachers. And this has been the truth of the matter since the fall of Adam and Eve in the garden. False teachers have always outnumbered true teachers. The majority of men crave false teaching, and they despise true teaching. By nature, men are inclined to false teaching. They love false teaching and automatically gravitate towards it, as one automatically gravitates towards their own mother tongue. Whenever people are displaced through some incredible calamity or upheaval, either natural or man-made, and they are forced to go to a far country, one of the things that you always see is that people gravitate according to their mother tongue. That's why we always see there are pockets in every urban center. You have the Slovaks, you have the Polaks, you have the Italians, you have the Russians, and so on and so forth. This is always the way it is. We gravitate towards that which is most natural to us, and the fallen natural man gravitates towards false teaching because it's what's natural to him. The natural man does not want to have his error exposed. He wants to have his error substantiated. He wants the governing authorities, the ruling authorities, to grant legitimacy to his error by passing laws that will protect it. The natural man does not want someone to tell him his error is wrong. He wants someone to tell him that his error is not an error at all, but rather that it is the essence of wisdom and truth itself. By nature, men want to justify their sins, and they seek to have their sin legitimized by having it recognized and protected by the laws of their land. You want to see what a people worship? Look at their laws. The laws that men enact demonstrate what is in their hearts. If their hearts are evil, you will see evil being called good and protected by the laws of their land. Jesus just told us what to look for in terms of the false teacher. Bad root, bad fruit. That's just the reality. As I mentioned earlier, just this past week, we have seen President Obama sign into law the hate crimes bill. That bill that makes it a crime to commit acts of violence towards gays and lesbians. Now, I would ask you this. Since when did our Constitution ever say it was okay to commit acts of violence towards gays and lesbians? It never did. They were protected by the self-same laws that everyone else here is protected by. You cannot commit acts of violence towards anyone. So why did he really enact this piece of legislation? What is the real purpose? If someone murders a gay person or a lesbian, or did prior to this piece of legislation, were they not guilty of murder? Were they not prosecuted for murder? Yes, they were. This all came about through that Matthew Shepard killing. That's what prompted this whole measure, so-called. Were his murderers prosecuted? Yes, to the fullest extent of the law. So what is the purpose for this? The purpose of it is simply to grant legitimacy to the homosexual lifestyle in a special way. That it is granted special legislation, not just general legislation like the rest of you all have to live under. But they're given special protection under the law. This is an attack against God, in whose image men are made. He is the one that said, "For this reason a man shall leave his father and his mother and cling to his wife, and the two shall become as one flesh." A man shall leave his father and his mother, cling to his wife, and the two shall become as one. Not a man and a man, not a woman and a woman. This is by God's design. And they are demonstrating, they are enacting violence towards God Himself through this piece of legislation. And now what will happen is if sermons like this can be construed to be the reason why someone perpetrated, committed a crime against a gay person, I will be hauled into court along with that person who committed the act and co-prosecuted by his signing of this bill into law. President Barack Obama has demonstrated himself to be a false teacher. In its very core, in its very essence, he is saying that the gay lifestyle is righteous and therefore it demands protection by the laws of this land. Satan labors with the greatest efforts to produce false teachers and then to promote those false teachers. That's exactly what has happened with our country over the past year, as we have seen this evil and wicked man not only produced but promoted in our society. And if you look at the polling records of popular opinion towards President Barack Obama, you will see amongst liberals that his numbers remain consistently high right across the board. That the liberals still love this man. They love him. In spite of everything he has done in terms of bringing about wickedness and unrighteousness, they love him. These false prophets, these false teachers are messengers of Satan. They are ambassadors of evil. An ambassador is one who tries to act in such a way as to mediate between two parties. An ambassador is one who tries to be the one who makes these two parties friends. And so these false teachers who are produced and promoted by Satan himself are his evil, wicked ambassadors trying to marry together these parties. He is self-consciously using individuals like our own president in an effort to take the average common person and merge him together with wickedness and evil. The purpose of the false teacher is the same as the purpose of Satan. Their purpose is to deceive and to delude. Their aim is to ruin the souls of men. Look with me, if you would, at Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23, and skipping down to verse 13. Now let's take it up in 11. For both prophet and priest are profane. Yes, in my house I have found their wickedness, says the Lord. Therefore their way shall be to them like slippery ways. In the darkness they shall be driven on and fall in them. For I will bring disaster on them the year of their punishment, says the Lord. And I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied by Baal and caused my people Israel to err. This is what we are seeing in our day. In a remarkable degree, is that people who are God's people, who are Christian and believing people, are being led by their nose by these false teachers. That there has been such a drought of good, solid, orthodox teaching for so long now, people are they're like waves of the sea driven by the wind and tossed. The very thing that the Apostle James says not to be. This is what the majority of professing Christians have become. There is no foundation. There is nothing solid under their feet on which they can stand. Now they are easily moved and induced to believe one thing or another that has nothing to do with biblical orthodoxy. President Barack Obama enjoys remarkable acceptance and approval amongst the black people. And yet there are so many black people that are professing Christians. Yet their Christianity is a farce. There is no substance to it. This man is a hater of God, an inventor of evil. He loves everything that God says he hates. Murder. Homosexuality. False religions. He loves abortion. He loves homosexuality. He loves the religion of Islam. His next two things that he is going after and he is encouraging Congress to tackle are the Defense of Marriage Act, which President Bush passed last year, and the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy in the military. He is not resting. He is a wicked and evil man. Look with me, if you would, at Micah chapter 3, and skipping down to verse 5. Thus says the Lord concerning the prophets who make my people stray, who chant peace while they chew with their teeth, but who prepare war against him, who puts nothing into their mouths. Therefore you shall have night without vision, and you shall have darkness without divination. The sun shall go down on the prophets, and the day shall be dark for them. So the seers shall be ashamed, and the diviners abashed. Indeed, they shall all cover their lips, for there is no answer from God. These prophets come to seduce men and to carry them out of the right way into some thicket of error where they are caught up and lost, where they can't free themselves from it. They are caught in their error, they are caught in their blasphemy and their wickedness, and consequently they are lost forever. They will come to the judgment day without the benefit of the blood of Christ covering their unrighteousness, and they will be cast into the outer darkness where they will suffer eternal damnation and condemnation. So, knowing that this is the case, that Satan makes great use out of false teachers, what is the best way that we can deal with the false teachers in this world? Well, first of all, we must know our enemies, and the first thing that we must know about false teachers is that they are men pleasers. False teachers are men pleasers. They will use very sweet-sounding words, golden words, words that tickle the ear, but words that do not profit men's hearts. Look with me at Isaiah 30. Isaiah 30, beginning in let's look at verse 1 first. Woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, who take counsel but not from me, and who devise plans but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. And then if you would, skip down to verse 8. Now go write it before them on a tablet and note it on a scroll, that it may be for time to come, forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children who will not hear the law of the Lord, who say to the seers, do not see, and to the prophets, do not prophesy to us right things. Speak to us smooth things. Prophesy deceit. Get out of the way. Turn aside from the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. They no longer tolerate the good and the right way. They have turned away from what is good to that which is evil. Let's move back to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 5. Skipping down to the last two verses. An astonishing and horrible thing has been committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule by their own power. And my people love to have it this so. But what will you do in the end? The false teacher handles things with wit, with cleverness, rather than with fear and reverence. They use smooth-sounding speech that's intended to hide the truth. It's intended to obfuscate the truth. That is, to hide it in such a way as so that it is not immediately apparent what they're doing. It's just shaded a little bit to this way. And so, in so doing, they are able to move men from what is right and good and noble and honorable to that which is wicked, unrighteous, ignoble, and dishonorable. And that's what our president is doing. False teachers are teachers that lead to a soul's undoing. Sure, he made a lot of people happy by signing that hate crimes bill. He made the whole homosexual community happy by doing this. But it wasn't in their best interest. He has helped to damn their souls to hell by legitimizing their lifestyle. The fruit of the teaching of the false teacher promises a life of ease and pleasure, but it only can deliver a life of misery and eventually, ultimately, destruction. By his signing this bill into law, he doesn't change the ultimate eventual end of the homosexual, which is eternal damnation. He can't change that by his signing this bill into law. The poison of the words of the false teacher are hidden beneath the sweet sounds of their voices as they tickle the ears of their listeners. They promise a life of happiness with no pain, ease without labor. They would have you to believe that you can have something for nothing, that you can benefit at the expense of someone else. And even further than that, they'll convince you that you're entitled to benefit from someone else's hard work. And that it is only righteous that they would go and seize what someone else's hard work has enabled them to have. And so here we see the first thing that we must know about false teachers, and that is that false teachers are men pleasers. Secondly, I would say that the thing we need to know about false teachers is that these are the ones who have no fear of God, but they take a special pleasure in casting dirt upon Christ's most ardent followers. Look with me, if you would, at number 16. In number 16, beginning in verse 1, we read, "Now Korah the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, with Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses with some of the children of Israel, 250 leaders of the congregation, representatives of the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered together against Moses and Aaron and said to them, 'You take too much upon yourselves, for all the congregation is holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Why then do you exalt yourselves above the assembly of the Lord?'" This is another thing that we will see false teachers do with regularity, that we will see men seize the scriptures and they will twist them, and they will massage them and knead them and cause them to say anything other than what God intended without ever asking true men of God, without ever asking true women of God, what is the meaning of this? They will seize on their own invented meaning, a construct of their own wicked imagination, and that is where we see Satan working so often. Our confession even says it. When it talks about in our confession, in the Westminster Confession, regarding good works are those works which the Bible says we are to do. Anything apart from that, over, above, or beyond it, is a construct of our wicked imagination, and this is where Satan does his chief work. It's in the imagination of men's minds, moving and inducing them to give vent to it. And that's the next thing that I would like to call your attention to. And that is the third thing we need to know about false teachers is that they are the ones who vent their evil imaginations. Where the godly keep a lid on their evil reckonings, they would be ashamed and humiliated for someone to know some of the wicked and twisted things that pass through their imaginations. The evil, the false teacher gives vent to it. They do the exact opposite. They are always on the lookout for ways to act on their own evil thinking. And again, I would ask you to turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah 14 this time. Jeremiah 14, and skipping down to verse 14, "And the Lord said to me, 'The prophets prophesy lies in my name. I have not sent them, commanded them, nor spoken to them. They prophesy to you a false vision, divination, a worthless thing, and the deceit of their heart.'" In our day, again, we see so many wicked politicians, beginning with our president, but going on down. We see Harry Reid. We see Nancy Pelosi. We have seen the now deceased Ted Kennedy, Chuck Schumer, Barney Frank. I could go on and on. We see all of these wicked men giving vent to their wicked imaginations, calling evil good and good evil. And we marvel that we can look at the same set of circumstances that they are looking at, and we come to such totally different conclusions. We say, how is this possible? How can we both be looking at this, and we come to this conclusion, and they come to this conclusion? It is because of the evil that is in their heart. Bad root, bad fruit. Everything they hear, they see, they think comes through their wicked imaginations. They have become utterly wicked in all of their being. I'm going to skip over a couple of points. We'll draw to a close with this point. It's intended to be the sixth point. We'll make it our last. The sixth thing we need to know regarding false teachers is that they are far more concerned about winning converts than the welfare of their convert souls. Look with me, if you would, at Matthew 24. Lord Jesus himself, skipping down to Matthew 23, where Jesus is pronouncing the woes on the scribes and the Pharisees. Let's pick up in verse 13. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore you will receive the greater condemnation. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel land and sea to win one proselyte, one convert, and when he is won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as you are yourselves. This is their intent. This is their aim and their goal. And we think also of what Paul says in Romans 1, beginning in verse 18, when he writes, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which is due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind, to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent men, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them." The false teacher is one who has no genuine concern for the welfare, the eternal welfare of the soul of their convert, but they only take advantage of them for their own wicked pleasures. Therefore, dear ones, knowing these truths about false teachers, we need to be on the lookout for them, exposing them to everyone that we can, to be all the more diligent that we ourselves would seek the Lord's grace, that he would grant us wisdom to be able to avoid the siren sound of the false teacher and the courage to stand up in the face of overwhelming public opposition from those who would accept the teachings of the false teachers. Will you please bow your heads and pray with me? Father, we know that we live in this very dark and twisted age, where there are so many who are who carelessly disregard the truth of the Scriptures, the holiness of God, and think nothing of embracing and engaging in vile acts, corrupt acts, depraved acts, and not only do so themselves, but heartily encourage others to do so too. And Father, I pray again, please come, send your Holy Spirit, turn the hearts of men away from their natural wickedness, and put a genuine, sincere, supernatural love to God in their hearts, that there might be righteousness restored to our land. We pray you would begin with us. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.